This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely happy and delighted to be with you on this Monday in the Lord. Always eager to hear from you right here at Women of Grace Live. You do know that we love to have holy conversation with you. Your questions, your comments, your insights, your inspirations, your words of encouragement are always welcomed right here at Women of Grace Live. So we invite you to use that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EW. WTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us today. If you are in North America, as I mentioned, it's a toll-free number for you. If you're outside of North America, however, we do have a number for you as one. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. So that is the number that you can use if you are outside of North America. But again, if you're in North America, toll-free number 833-288-3986. Do give us a call with your question or your comment today. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Chat feature is there for you. Put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement in there. Do tell us who you are, where you are. And if you're listening some way other than via social media, let us know that as well. Additionally, you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. And of course, do tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Know that message and data rates may apply. We have Tom Price taking the calls today. Yes, we do. He is filling in for Matthew Gabensky. In addition to that, Vanessa Sanchez filling in for Pedro Quiles. She's going to be doing social media and running everything for us because this is a great woman who can multitask. So we enjoy, the opportunity to spend time with you today. Well, let me tell you, it is Monthly Marriage Monday. It is. But I am without my buddy. I'm without my husband. I am without my guy, Jack. He's not feeling very well today. So as a result of that, I am here alone. But we're still going to take your questions or your comments having to do with marriage today. I'll, of course, entertain any question that you would like to ask. Ask me about any number of things. So just wanting to let you know, though, that I am flying solo on this Monthly Marriage Monday, and I feel a little bare. You know what I mean? It's like something is missing. Oh, yeah, someone is missing, my husband. So I do ask God that you say, a prayer or two for him today, and pray also that I don't come down with what he's got, because I've got a big week coming up here. As you well know, I am going to be in Florida later this week, looking forward to next week in Florida, in Vieira, Florida, at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. We've got just a wonderful opportunity for you beginning on Sunday, December the 7th. And that is going to just be a lovely time with the women beginning at 12:30 Sunday afternoon, running until about 2 o'clock or so. We are going to be gathering together, talking about prepare ye the way of the Lord, since we have begun this Advent season. So we're going to at the front end of it, try to get our minds organized around what it is that we should be looking forward to as we make this pilgrim journey, really, to the creche of the Christ child on Christmas Day. So I'm hoping you can join us there at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. I've got it on pretty good authority that, people are coming. Even a lot of our Women of Grace are going to be joining us there. It is open to everyone. Though it's at the parish, it's not just for the parish. So we're inviting you to take advantage of this opportunity and to join us there. Now, beginning on Sunday evening at 6 p.m., we will start the parish mission. That is going to run Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. And, it's just going to be a wonderful opportunity, I think, for us to again, you know, really contemplate what is this season truly all about? And how does this season, in a certain way, you know, and remember that Advent is the beginning of the liturgical calendar. How does this set us up? How does this set us up for the rest of the year with regard to our life in our Lord Jesus Christ? How does it, and when I say rest of the year, I'm talking liturgical year here, right? Not talking about chronological year, but how does this set us up also very well for perhaps, you know, a new endeavor in the chronological year, a way in which we can begin to bring the entirety of our life into this reality of the coming of Christ. You know, this is a great mystery, isn't it? I mean, you know, the word made flesh is incomprehensible to us. But also, too, incomprehensible is the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come again. We're not to take a look at that. And of course, you heard that in the readings this week at Mass. But we're not to take a look at that and think that this is you know, just this major event that's going to happen when he comes and when, you know, our souls are reunited with our body, the second coming. But we need to think about all of the comings of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that he's entering into our life every day? And remember this, as Father reminded us in his homily at Mass yesterday, he said, you know, the thing of it is, Jesus is going to come for each one of us. You know, it's likely that our life on earth will end before the second coming. So we're each going to have that opportunity of the coming of Christ in a personal way for us at the end of our lives, our natural physical lives. We'll stand before him for our particular judgment. So, you know, the call here is to be aware of that, right? And to be very intentional about the way in which we're living every day, the choices that we make, the choices that we don't make, the way in which we try to express Jesus in and through us by way of how we love our neighbor, how it is that we encourage within ourselves a life of faith in him through our time of prayer. So, you know, all of these things should be at play, at work within us as we approach this holy season. And I really think that we would do well, you know, as we look at this opportunity that is ours by way of Advent to make some definitive, you know, commitments. This is what I want to do this year. This is how I want to do it. This is the way in which I really want to engage in a deeper expression of the life of Christ in me and working through me, right? So I'm inviting you, obviously, by way of all of this, to join us at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church in Vieira, Florida. You know, I know that there on the East Coast, there's many, many people that would be able to join us. But if you want to travel in, travel in. We would be happy to have you there. The theme for the Advent Parish Mission is, it reminds us of this pilgrim journey. It is journey of grace, faith, and hope. Journey of grace, faith, and hope. And I just can't wait to explore all of that with all of those who will come for this beautiful, beautiful event. So get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, everything beginning on December the 7th, which is Sunday, that's this coming Sunday, and running through until the 9th, which is Tuesday evening. More to tell you about on the other side of the break, but in the meantime, I want to remind you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Or get out there and use the opportunity for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jonette Williams, absolutely thrilled and happy to be with you today on this monthly Marriage Monday. As I shared with you, my husband Jack is a bit under the weather today, so he's not joining me on radio. But nonetheless, we're going to just go ahead and have our monthly Marriage Monday today. So if you have any questions about marriage or anything pertinent pertinent to marriage. If you're thinking of getting married, if you're wondering if you should get married, if you are married and you have questions about your life together as husband and wife, just let us know here. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. We have Tom Price answering the phones today. Be sure to give him a great big howdy hey when you call in. He's going to take your call, get it up on the board for me. I'll be able to chit-chat with you right here on the air if you use that option. We're available to you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Tell us who you are, where you are, and if you're listening other than through social media, let us know that too. We'll get your question up there. Vanessa Sanchez filling in for Pedro today, and she'll put it up there and I'll be able to address that as well. Finally, if you want to text us, you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening, and know that message and data rates may apply if you choose to use that option. So we do have a question that came into us, and this was an email. Let me tell you how you can't email us, because you can email your questions to us. And then, you know, if it's for Monthly Marriage Monday, we'll take it on Monthly Marriage Monday. If it's for Wacky Wednesday, we'll take it on Wacky Wednesday. Or we'll reserve it for a day when we dip into our email and just spend the whole day going through those emails. Also, too, you can always leave your question for us at on our listener comment caller line. That number is country code 1-205-795-5773. So we did have somebody that wrote us this message. I'm not going to use her name because this is a very specific situation here, and I wouldn't want to betray any kind of anonymity that she might like to have. But here is what she writes in. She says, "I have been married almost 4 years now. My husband has 3 children from his first marriage. There is not a good relationship with his ex, and kids have mentioned she is into occult things. He and I have been married for he and I have 1 2-year-old daughter. It has been beyond difficult living in this war. It feels like they are competing for kids." And of course, this, I think she means between her husband and his ex-wife. "It feels like they are competing for kids, and we both feel overwhelmed and oppressed most of the time. What do you recommend, since the ex practices ungodly things? Also, I have thought of leaving because it is a lot, but I also think of the sacrament we received." Well, you know, I'm so sorry that you have this struggle. Unfortunately, while there are particular circumstances and details that are related to your own situation in a unique way, I have to say that this is not an unusual occurrence that can happen when there has been a first marriage and children are involved. We hear about this very, very frequently. And what we never want to have happen is that the children become the war zone between the ex-spouses. That's a regrettable situation when that occurs. And all too often that happens. And the children are used as the misery of the two couples. And then what ends up happening is that the children become the collateral damage. And so, you know, all three of you, and of course, nobody can govern the emotions or the behaviors of other people. We can't govern that. But all three of you need to sit down and have a conversation. You know, obviously, the situation is not a good one. I'm sure that there's a lot of tension. And I'm guessing that emotions run quite high. But you three, you and your husband and the ex-wife, you are the adults. And you need to, you know, kind of belly up to the bar, so to speak, and take on that reality. You know, now, it seems as though another very unhappy side effect of all of this is that there is a drizzle down effect where this is affecting your relationship with your husband, and to the extent where you've thought of leaving. But you mentioned that you've received the sacrament. So I'm guessing that this first marriage is annulled and the two of you have received the sacrament of matrimony. This is the time when you stand by the vows that you've made. I'm not saying it's easy. But see, this is the reality of it. If you remember the vows, you know, in good times and in bad, right? In sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer. You know, this is one of those, you know, bad times. But we took this vow that we're going to remain firm in the bad times. And this means that we have to really dig into ourselves with great, a great persistency and resilience. You know, we've got to find that fortitude that helps us to stay the course. We've got to find that courage that helps us to hang in there. There's no mention here of abuse. So I don't think that abuse is part of this. There's not even any mention here of verbal abuse, though there might be. I don't know. And I'm talking here with regard to the ex-wife. But there's got to be some kind of a come to Jesus moment here where this gets discussed out. And I would suggest that you and your husband have got to set that standard by having a conversation between yourselves. You've got to tell him how difficult this is, and you've got to encourage him to be the man that God wants him to be. And who is that? Well, that is protector, provider, and leader of his family unit, which would be you and the children. And, you know, he's no longer part of the family of his first wife. That marriage has been annulled. But there's got to be some sensitivity there. And you notice that I'm deliberately kind of sidebarring for a moment here, this whole discussion about her activities. I will talk about that in a minute. But what I'm talking about here is the reality that this woman is going to be involved in the life of these children, unless she determines that she will no longer be involved in the life of those children. But likely she's going to be involved in the life of these children for the rest of their lives, for the rest of her natural life, right? That's the reality. So there's got to be a way to make peace here. There's got to be a way. And it's important to try to find that way, even if you have to invest in counseling for the three of you. All three of you sit down with somebody that can basically be a type of arbiter until you're all able to find your way to practicing the virtues that are necessary to practice in this situation. The last thing you should do is consider leaving. Unless there's something here that I don't know about that would require that, which would be a safety factor, whether that be physical, emotional, mental, or psychological. But you can't run away from the difficulty and the struggle. That's not going to help any of the children. It's not going to help his three children from the first marriage, of whom you are the stepmother. And it certainly is not going to help your two-year-old daughter. You know, that to take her away from her dad, it's hard, and you're both feeling overwhelmed and oppressed most of the time. Well, let's talk about that for a moment, and let's get into the occult situation here. Now, what you say is that the children have suggested that she's into occult things. Okay, well, maybe she is. Now, that would have to be discussed with her. There would have to be a line drawn in the sand with regard to that. And I think that your husband, would have to have that conversation with her because you don't want those children involved in those kinds of things. However, she is their mother, and that gets really, really touchy. It gets really, really touchy in a situation like this. I don't think, depending upon what the divorce decree says, I don't think that you could prevent them from seeing her. But you could ask her, especially if you're trying to patch up this relationship, you could ask her, to please refrain from practicing those things when the children are with her. But then she might come back and say, well, I don't want you practicing the faith with them. So, this is a very sticky issue that I think would have to be worked out. But I don't know how you can actually work it out, but it does involve conversation. And you might want to advise her in Christian Charity about the dangers of that which she's involving herself in. And, you know, you can go out to our blog. We've got, you know, literally better than 1,000, almost 2,000, if not 2,000 questions and answers on any kind of thing. If the children could be more specific with what they see happening there, you might be able to be more specific in selecting some, and here I mean you and your husband, selecting some of those articles that would be beneficial for her. You know, this is the mother of your husband's three children. You know, this is the mother of his children. And so there needs to be Christian charity here. There needs to be a concern for her soul. So that might be something that you could do in that area, right? And I think that perhaps that would, be beneficial. Now, we don't want to rush to judgment and say that you feel overwhelmed and oppressed because of the activities of this woman. Because, you know, being overwhelmed and oppressed, it can come from a variety of things. Certainly, it can come from occult oppression, which is one form of oppression. And whenever we're oppressed, we always know that there are spirits afoot there, but they're not necessarily occult spirits. You know, sometimes we feel overwhelmed and oppressed because of what's going on within us interiorly. You know, when we are in a weakened condition and when we're, you know, in a certain way, not living out the reality of our Christian faith through kindness and charity, oftentimes then we are inviting, we're creating within ourselves a breach, an opening where, you know, all kinds of other spirits can come in and begin to harass us and put, you know, incite thoughts into our mind. They can't read our minds, but they can incite thoughts into our mind. And then we begin brooding and we begin ruminating and we begin thinking about how terrible everything is. And the more we do that, the more we give license to those spirits, those demons. But in addition to that, the more do we work against our own capacity to move forward, because we begin to emit the unhappy hormones, the sad hormones, and they begin through their activity in our brain to carve neural pathways that begin to lead us and embed us into negative thinking. And that negative thinking, you know, obviously causes oppression and feeling overwhelmed and depression and a sadness of heart. And then we pile it on with a woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. I'm not saying you don't have a difficult situation here. You do. You have a very complicated situation here. But what I am suggesting is that the way in which we approach that is going to not only make all of the difference in the potential outcome, but it's going to make all of the difference in the way in which we navigate the difficulty that we're facing. And that's what I'm trying to help you to do both here. The navigation part is the important part, because the way that you navigate this is also going to have a predictive, a reality toward the conclusion of how this, you know, ultimately comes to some kind of an end. So I don't know if I've helped you or not. What I'm saying is you don't want to be part of the problem. You want to be part of the solution the whole way around. The part of your solution for feeling overwhelmed and oppressed. This is when you really want to draw near to the sacraments. This is when you want to spend time in adoration with our Lord. This is the time when you want to really beef up your prayer life. This is the time when you want to dig into Scripture. This is the time when you want to make use of the sacrament of reconciliation. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I keep having negative thoughts, unhappy thoughts about my husband's ex-wife, and I have been uncharitable in that thinking. Now, I'm not saying you have done that. I'm just suggesting that might be something that, should that exist, you might want to take to the sacrament. I don't think that we always think about the fact that, the thought processes that we permit to go on, can really make us culpable for, you know, actions, sinful actions. You know, harboring uncharitable thoughts is a sin. You know that? You know, when I say uncharitable, I mean, okay, so it's a miserable situation. You don't have to deny that. But to you know, harbor uncharitable thoughts, to encourage those uncharitable thoughts, that's a sin. And I'm thinking about, you know, that one passage in scripture where we're told that we have to take every thought captive. We have to take every thought captive. You know, the evil one and his minions will work on that. And they'll just, you know, once they see that they've got us thinking in a negative way about someone, they're just going to keep inciting negative thoughts. And, you know, they're gleeful about it. But that's not what we're told to do. We're told to take every thought captive. And I think that when we begin to do that, and this is just a general note to all of us here, you know, I think that when we begin to do that, we begin to notice a different attitude. There's an immediate interior reality that begins to take place within us, and we work our way out of the misery of our condition. So, you know, like if we begin to say, oh my gosh, you know, everything is so terrible. Everything is so bad. Oh, I just feel overwhelmed. Oh my gracious, I can't handle another thing. If one more thing comes my way, I'm just going to collapse. I just can't take it. And nobody's being kind to me anymore. It just seems like everybody has a harsh word for me. Well, if we, you know, if we allow ourselves to run down that rabbit hole, we're bringing upon ourselves oppression. We're bringing upon ourselves a feeling of overwhelmed. So what do? Well, at the first sign of those thoughts, as soon as we see ourselves going down that rabbit hole, we pull ourselves out of it. You know what we do? We do what I tell you to do all the time. Oh, Father God, I praise you and I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that I can praise you in the midst of this situation, that even though I am tempted to allow myself to become overwhelmed, that Lord, when I praise and thank you, I open myself up to your graces that helps for me to take this miserable situation and work it to the good, because I know that you're working it to the good. And so I do. I praise you and I thank you that even in this, Lord, you are working grace into my life, Lord God. You are working it in. And I thank you and I praise you and I open myself up for that. Now, we know that what praise does is it emits the happy hormones. And we begin to set up a whole new pathway of thinking, a pathway that is filled with the light of Christ. That's what we want to do. Well, here we are. We're at the break. We're at the bottom of the hour. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can call us here today, toll free if you're in North America. Also inviting you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Questions, the opportunity to leave your question there is available in the chat feature. We want to get it and we want to address it. So get on out there to EWTN's Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're coming right back. Phone lines are all open.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnnet Williams. So very happy to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you. I am. Phone lines are available for you. Here's your toll-free number if you're in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We'll take your calls on anything, but today is Monthly Marriage Monday. So if you have a question related to marriage, I certainly do invite you to call about that. My husband, Jack, as I've been sharing with you, is a little under the weather today, although he's listening in here because he's telling me to tell the woman who sent us the email that we spent quite a bit of time talking about today to pray for her ex, to pray for the ex, to pray for the ex-wife. And of course, prayer is the first thing that we do. So I invite you to do that. We've got calls coming in right now. Do want to tell you that we're on YouTube and you can leave a question for us at YouTube. Just get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and leave a question for us. We'll get it collected. We are not doing texts today. So I apologize for that. I was giving you that texting opportunity, but it's not here today. But we are available via the toll-free number for you in North America, 833-288-EWTN, or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Or if you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271 2985. Wow, that's a lot of information, isn't it? But we're going to be going to the phone lines. Phone lines are lighting up. That makes me ever so very, very pleased and ever so very, very happy. I'm going to ask all of you, if you're calling in, please be patient with us. We're going to get to you. Just hang on there. So, you know, what do we do when we're in a tough situation? It doesn't matter. Pray. What do we do when we're not in a tough situation? It's the same thing. We pray. Build a prayer life. If you don't have one this Advent, which we began yesterday, first Sunday of Advent, this is a good time to do something like that. Let's get to Gail. Gail is in, I think you pronounce this Nahant or Nahant, Massachusetts, listening to us via Station of the Cross. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm a little perplexed, and I was reaching out. I had you on the phone, and I was like, oh, I had to call in. I hope you can help me.
Okay.
So I believe in the 3 days of darkness, and I love Padre Pio, and I watch the YouTube, and you don't know what to believe on YouTube. And I saw, I took a course, a Bible study on near-death experiences that were approved by Father Spitzer, that when people die and they come back and they tell their story, they verify the stories and you know, verify the stories by the, mm-hmm. you know, check, doing a check of the things they said that happened before death and while they were in above the body, whatever. I don't
yes.
know if you're familiar with that.
Yes, I am.
But, and so I saw this YouTube video recently about a monk who died. He had a near-death experience, and God gave him five things to prepare for the 3 days of darkness. And I already knew about, you know, you have to have a candle, a beeswax candle that has been blessed, and I've got that, and I got it from my children, who sadly, they've kind of left the church. And they were altar servers and lectors and went off to college, and now they don't believe in formal religion, but that's another story. And these five things were hard. So you're supposed to get things blessed and get... be prepared for more than 3 days. After the 3 days, there could be a lot of confusion and a lot of, for instance, the grid's supposed to go down, and that's the dark part of the darkness, from what I've heard too. And again, I don't know what to believe, but
sure.
But once the darkness is over, you're going to have problems with no electricity.
Well, so let's talk about this, Gail, a little bit. Okay, so, you know, when we talk about the 3 days of darkness, what we have to understand, of course, that this is all coming from private revelation, okay? It's private revelation. There's nothing in Scripture that supports it. It's private revelation. Now, that doesn't mean that it cannot happen. It can happen. And we know that our Lord, you know, communicates to us through private revelation. But we have no obligation to believe anything that is private revelation, not even the apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Now, we would be wise, when the church approves all of these things, to believe, you know, what Our Lady tells us, for example, at Fatima. We would be wise because the church has approved the apparition, but we're not obligated by faith to believe it. Now, the church has not spoken about 3 days of darkness. The church hasn't said anything about it. You cite Padre Pio, of course, he's a saint, you know, and other saints have mentioned this kind of a thing. But we have to remember something else. When a saint is receiving a private revelation, that private revelation, the way in which it's depicted for the saint, is not always the reality of the way something is going to happen, if it is going to happen. So when it talks about 3 days of darkness, the common interpretation of that is very literal, very literal. Now, and it might be very literal, but there might not ever be 3 days of darkness. So the fact of the matter is, you know, we don't want to invest belief in private revelation in the way in which we invest belief in sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, the authentic teachings of the church. They don't carry the same weight. Private revelation does not carry the same weight. Now, I, for one, you know, believe the apparition of Fatima. The church has approved it. So it's prudent for me to do that. But when it comes to the 3 days of darkness, you know, that is really an iffy thing. And here's the concern that I have with it. You know, it almost can become a type of superstition. Well, I've got to get, you know, three blessed candles. They've got to be beeswax. We can become so focused on that, so concerned about it, so worried over it, that we forget to do the things that are incumbent upon us to lead a life of faith. If we truly believe in God, if we truly believe in the providence of God, if we trust God, if we have hope in God, then we're not going to worry about these things. We're not going to become, you know, tied in a knot over them. And we can gauge, and I'm not suggesting you are tied in a knot, so understand that. But you know, this topic is something I think that needs to be discussed. You know, Jesus tells us himself, you know, not to worry about things. You know, do the birds of the air and the lilies of the field worry? No, they don't. He's telling us, don't worry. Instead, trust. Put your faith and trust in God, not in blessed candles or all of these other things, which is not to say that we ought not to have them, because to have blessed candles is a lovely thing, but not to look at that as this blessed candle and these five other things that came by way of a private revelation are going to be my salvation. It's not going to be your salvation. Your salvation is going to be our Lord Jesus Christ, if and when such a thing would occur. The second thing is this. You know, there's no man knows the day nor the hour, you know, and the 3 days of darkness could, as I say, be metaphorical. It might not be literal. It could be pertaining to something else. For example, there could be 3 days of darkness where, you know, in a certain sense, we're all cast into a type of dark night of the soul. It could be a kind of a darkness where, you know, we see the reality, you know, illumination of conscience. We see the reality. And some of us have had that reality where there's an illumination of conscience. We see precisely the misery of our condition. And it's a time of darkness in the sense of we see how dark our reality is without the saving help of God. And it sets us on a new path of conversion. So there's that. So we don't know. First of all, it's private revelation. We're not obligated to believe it. Second of all, the church is not pronounced on the 3 days of darkness. Third of all, we don't know if we are looking at something that should be metaphorically interpreted or literally interpreted. Number five, our faith and our confidence, our hope and our trust should be in God and God alone. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not prudent in other ways, but, you know, like, you know, I come from the state of Florida. I've lived the majority of my life in the state of Florida, and we have hurricanes. The prudent thing is to be prepared, right? So I'm not suggesting that we ought not to have preparation, but the greater preparation is not by the accumulation of all this stuff. The greater preparation is to live in the state of grace. The greater preparation is to be going to confession. The greater preparation is to receive our Lord Jesus Christ every day, if we can. The greater preparation is to have a solid prayer life. And then if these things happen, they happen. But you know what? If that's the way the Lord's going to take me home, it's the way he's going to take me home. I don't know. But he is going to come to take me home one day, like we were talking about earlier. And that's where our focus should be. Am I living every day in union with Christ? Am I seeking him in all things and through all things, in the good times and in the bad? Am I seeking him? Am I looking for him? Am I looking for his grace in the situations and circumstances that plague my path, whether they be, you know, really, really dire things or just little annoyances? Am I thanking him and praising him for the joys that come into my life? So these are the things, you know, that I think are most important. And I worry, I really do, Gail, I worry about this focus on these things and you know, in some cases, the fomenting of them. by way of these things. Near-death experience is a whole nother matter. But again, you're citing a near-death experience where it's leading into this. And I just have to put that out there that, you know, we could have 3 days of darkness and there could be all kinds of confusion afterwards. I'm very familiar with all of this. In the 80s, people were obsessed with this. In the 90s, people were obsessed with this. And here we are, and we're in the 2000s, the second decade of the 2000s, and this hasn't happened. You know, so, you know, in the year 2000, everybody was worried sick that all of the computers were going to come down and everything was going to crash, and it didn't happen. Why are we worrying about things that may never occur instead of worrying about things which will ultimately occur? And that is our death and our particular judgment and our eternal life. That's where our focus should be. So, you know, I understand your desire. And let me just say this about your children. You know, you have raised them, sweetheart. You have raised them well. You involved them in the church in their young years. It says in Scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is not old, he will not depart from it. So old means old. So here's the deal. It doesn't say they won't depart from it when they're younger, but it does say that when they're old, they won't depart from it. So you as mom have done everything you can for them. And my sense is these kids will come back. And I can tell you what, I'm a living testimony of that. And, God certainly grabbed me by the scruff of the neck through a moment of illumination of conscience, and he brought me home. And you pray for that for your children. And I'm sure that the Lord will hear your prayers because you are a righteous mom, and he hears the pleas and the cries of a righteous man. So, Gail, thank you for your call today. I hope that helps you. And if you're finding yourself getting worried about these things, take that to the Lord, because worry doesn't come from him. Discouragement doesn't come from him. That kind of fear doesn't come from him. And this is one of the ways in which we get tied up in these things, and we don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen for you. Thank you, Gail, for your call today. Let's go to Anne. Anne is in Baltimore, and she is listening to us. How are you listening to us? Via the EWTN app. Hey, Anne, how are you?
Hi. Just got quiet for some reason.
Oh, okay.
I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm on the air.
Oh, there we
can
go.
You hear me? Okay.
Hi. Okay.
Hi.
Sorry.
Hi. That's all right.
I was calling. Thank you so much for all you do. You were such a gift. I really resonate with the first call or the email that you answered about capturing your thoughts. I am going to take that to heart. But the marriage question I have is, I've been married almost 19 years, and no, it is 19 years. It's not been good the whole time, pretty much. We're not a team. And I'm trying to figure out, number one, how do I find out what a good wife is? I think I missed the boat on that. And number two, how can I change myself when the situation of the lack of team isn't there?
Yeah.
And if you will come to the table or not.
Oh, Ian, I'm so sorry that you've gone through this. And it's a very difficult situation and circumstance. There's no question about that. But you've remained true to your marriage vows, and that is commendable. And that I would call, in certain situations, is heroic virtue. I'm thinking about a beautiful, beautiful woman. Her cause is opened. I don't know if it's progressed. She's a servant of God, at least. And that's Elizabeth Lesieur. And I'll spell the last name for you. L-E-S is in Sam, E-U-R. And she went through a very difficult time in her marriage, and she's written a diary. And the diary, it's gone by a couple of names. My Soul Magnifies the Lord was one title that it went under. I'm going to try to look it up as we're on the air here. And it's Elizabeth. It's E-L-I-S, not A, Elizabeth. Here, let me put this in so I can give this to you really fast. Let me get it for you. Yeah. Oh, she's so precious. Somebody very, very lovely. The Secret Diary of Elizabeth Lesieur. And I do believe that it is published. I think it's published by Sophia, but I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, it's available for you out there at Amazon, and you can get a copy of it. But, you know, marriage is, you know, marriage is a vocation. And marriage, the whole purpose of the vocation, of any vocation, is for the purification and sanctification of the people who are involved in the vocation. And I always say that every vocation has both an interior mission and an exterior mission. The exterior mission is to be a sign and a witness to the world. The interior mission is for our purification and sanctification. So since marriage is a vocation, we know that there's going to be struggles in marriage, and we know that there's going to be seasons in marriage. And it sounds like you've been in a 19-year-old season here. And that's a difficult thing. But what thrills me really on a deep level is the fact that you say that you're looking at yourself with regard to this, and you might have been doing everything perfectly. I don't know, but none of us is a perfect person. We all have our own difficulties and trials and our proclivities and our own hang-ups and all of those things. And sometimes, unfortunately, we act out through them. And when you're in such an intimate relationship with another person, that exacerbates any kind of difficulty or struggle that there might be. So the fact that you're willing to look at this is a beautiful thing. And what I would, if I were you, what I would ask the Lord in the midst of this is, you know, to open your heart and open your mind to be able to see what it is that you personally can do differently, because the only person that we can change is ourselves. And oftentimes as we go through that process of really trying to dig deeper and to try to put to the side those things that we know can be causing greater friction or even just greater distancing, you know, we can remedy those, but if we don't see them, we don't know about it. So the fact that you are looking introspectively is a great thing. That doesn't necessarily exclude the fact that your husband should be doing the same thing. And I guess maybe the only thing that can rectify this, and maybe you've done this, is to sit down and to talk about it, and to begin with the positive. You know, always begin with the positive. You know, this is, You know, I love you so much. And, you know, I remember those early days of our marriage. And I remember those, you know, the time that we were dating and courting and, you know, with such joy. And I know that that's all still here. How do we get back there? Can we work out a way to get back there? Sometimes the waters become so muddy that we can't see clearly. And the only way to unmuddy that water is to distill it. And we distill it through conversation and through action. So, you know, I would encourage that. In the meantime, do know that all of this is useful to God, even your sadness of heart and even your, you know, your sometimes even the angst that we feel about it and the anger and the, you know, the frustration of it all. You know, when we surrender that to God, He comes and He inhabits that. And inhabiting that, it changes. It changes for our good. It becomes a path to holiness. It becomes a path to deeper union with Him. And sometimes it becomes the very means by which God heals marriages. You know, I don't know if you've gone to any kind of counseling. If you do, make sure it's Catholic counseling, somebody that is pro-marriage. Oftentimes, even some Catholic counselors are pro-divorce. We don't need that. Now, you know, there's always the possibility that there was something missing at the beginning of the marriage. You might want to explore that at a different point in time. But for the moment, you know, it sounds to me that, you know, you really, really want to stand by your man, and you want to stand by this marriage. And Jack, who is listening, is saying to ask him, and I'm assuming this is your husband, if he has anything you can pray for on his behalf. You know, that it would be a good thing. You being Anne, you know, is there anything that you can pray for? You know, ask your husband. You know, you just seem a little uptight. Is there something that I can pray, you know, about for you? Can we pray together? How about that? Can we pray together? Praying together is a beautiful way to help a marriage to thrive and also to get the marriage back on track. If you haven't done that in the past, it can be awkward in the beginning, but it's something that can be implemented. I don't know. What do you think, Anne?
Yeah, I'm kind of ashamed to say that that had not occurred to me to ask him about if he had any prayers. Because I ask my kids that. But I think he's become third in line, I think, too, which is part of it.
Yeah, well, he's got to be first. You know, that's what we're told over and over again. He's got to be first. And then everything flows from that union. Now our phone lines are all lighting up, and I have a feeling there's a lot of people that would like to respond to this. So maybe we'll pick up on it again tomorrow. But Anne, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, honey. I'm putting you in my prayer, and I'm going to be praying for you. Okay? So you know that you've got, you know, a sister in Christ here who will be praying for you. Okay? All right, there you go. All right, thank you very, very much for being with us, everybody. It's always good to join together. Please get out there and check out our website. All kinds of good things coming up. We're going to be doing something here in Birmingham in January, the first weekend in January, so check that out. I think it's the first weekend. Maybe it's the second. It's out there on the website. Bye-bye now.